Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, hey, welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, you're welcome to participate with this show. I want to hear from you. You could participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. What are we talking about today? Love of a lifetime. Wow, isn't that something to be talking about? Love, to be talking about the love of a lifetime, to be talking about relationships, the truth. You know, I that would explain the love of a lifetime topic. Would explain the incredible amount of pre-show feedback that we get. It's incredible how much relationships, how much love. Has to do with our lives and our health. And let's have an honest conversation about it today. First, A Better Today community, I want to say hello and never forget the power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. We don't have to preach it, just have to live it. You want something different, you got to do something different. You see something you want change in this world, start in your house, start in your life, start in your community, start in your neighborhood, and inspire others, not just with your words, but with your actions. Inspire others to live that way. The best way to participate in humanity is not to get overwhelmed by all that needs to be done, but just remember that power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Keep it simple. When it's simple, it's effective. The power of one. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about the love of a lifetime. So many great poems, so many great movies, so many great actions, so many great feats, so much great pain, all dedicated to love. Love, and we've had whole entire industries built on this. Very powerful when you think about it. If your relationship is going right, whether you're married or not married, if you're love life, as they call it, is going right, then it seems everything is going right, doesn't it? And at the same time, if your love life isn't going right, then it seems like everything isn't going right. But what does that mean? What does it mean for us? Why is it that love, we have found it to become such a challenge for us? Such a challenge. Why can't we get it right? I think that, first of all, we overthink it. Is it possible that you can overthink something and underthink it at the same time? I think that we overthink the things that don't matter and underthink the things that do when it comes to love. We go out of our way to refine, to adapt, and to often dilute ourselves for someone else. We go out of our way to find love when we have to recognize that we are love. We are perfectly imperfect for our journey. And in the quest of sharing this love with someone else, we'll talk about relationships. We'll talk about relationships because this is the biggest topic when you talk about love is relationships. You get a couple of maybe a 2 or 3% out of the total pre-show emails that I'll get and post-show emails. A couple of them will be about loving humanity, being more generous, being more charitable, that kind of thing. A small percentage will be about loving humanity. The vast majority will be about relationships. So let's talk about relationships. Why do they seem so challenging? Why do we have such trouble with it? Do we even understand love? Do we even understand what love is? Have we been taught? The reason I'm bringing this up is, as I think about this, I don't know that many people even understand what love is. What actual love is. We understand what it means to be in lust. We understand those type of things. We understand what it is to love somebody in a utilitarian way. But do we really understand the basis, the simplicity, and the power of love? And the reason I bring this up, the reason I bring this up is because, like anything else, we could talk about relationships all day long, and you're still going to run into the same problems. And I'm thinking this. Again, I like to keep observant. I like to keep observant in our society, and I see the hundreds of very good relationship books written, really solid relationship books written. And yet the problems don't change, do they? They don't change. That's the observation I made with the industry that I'm in, the self-help industry. I noted, wow, this is a growing industry. More and more people are writing books. More and more people are buying books. It's a growing industry. If the stuff in these books were helping people, it wouldn't be a growing industry. It would be a shrinking one. Since I wasn't doing it as a business, let me rethink about how I'm approaching this, an approach that will actually have that impact. And I think that relationships is the same thing. Nobody brings up, or they bring it up, but they don't put the emphasis on love. They put the emphasis on navigating through your relationship. They put the emphasis on mending things in your relationship, all which are important. But as we know, with alcohol and extreme religion and this kind of stuff, these things are anesthetizing a pain. And if you don't address the pain, if you don't address the source, it won't change. And that's the phenomenon you're seeing with these books. You're seeing these fantastic books that are addressing the issue, but not spending nearly enough time on the source of that. And for me, the source of it is your relationship life, your love life must be. This isn't a philosophical thing as much as it is a psychological and scientific thing. Your love life must be directly correlated to the amount you love yourself. The amount you love yourself. And I know it sounds almost cheesy to, oh, you have to love yourself before you can love anyone else. Everyone's heard that. All of you have heard that before. But today I want you to listen to it. Listen to it. Don't just hear it. Listen to it. There is wisdom and truth in that. The problem is, we are very rarely taught to love ourselves. We're actually taught the opposite. Our entire marketing world is based on you not loving yourself. They can't sell you a thing if you love yourself. So they don't want you to love yourself. They don't want you to be perfectly imperfect. They don't want you to be perfect for your journey, but making adjustments in your life. They don't want you to have that kind of empowered mind, because that kind of empowered mind is bad for business. And you've seen throughout history, the people who come to empower others, the people who empower them selflessly, not the selfish kind of empowerment you'll find in a commercial industry, the people who selflessly empower others, you see the demise they meet, because they're bad for business. So you have an industry, a marketing industry, that has always told you not to love yourself. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're too fat. You're too thin. You're too short. You're too tall. You don't have enough money. They subliminally tell you. They subliminally tell you that you aren't worthy of another's love. So how could you possibly, the way that the brain correlates things, how could you possibly feel that you are worthy of your own? You can't. So you go through life not really having a love for yourself, and it builds in society, because society says, oh God, you love yourself. We look down on it. We have been taught to peer pressure each other out of loving ourselves. Think about it. And what does it mean when you start getting older? When you start getting older and you start really assessing the things that truly matter in life, what do you start doing? You start forgiving yourself, right? You start accepting yourself, right? You start taking better care of yourself. You turn inwards. One of the greatest things that happen to you as you get older is that you come to love yourself. And in that loving yourself, you free yourself from all that judging and hatred and nitpicking that you had done to yourself for years. Isn't it incredible what the inner wisdom that we feel as we get older is simply a matter of loving yourself? Why can't we do that now? Why can't you celebrate yourself now? You could celebrate yourself without dismissing everyone else. You could celebrate yourself without being obnoxious. You could be happy with who you are without being arrogant. Don't be fooled by a society who tells you that this isn't true. It is being driven by people who want to sell you something. You want to talk about love. You want to talk about a love of a lifetime. You are your love of a lifetime. You could share that love with someone else, but you can't share it adequately unless you love yourself properly. It comes from a point of self. Think about it. I don't want you to just listen to this as though I'm a philosopher on a just shouting out my ideas. I mean, think about it. Think about what it is. When people tell me, I've told you guys this story before. People say that, Steve kind of, sometimes people will say, you know, you're kind of full of yourself. And I'll say, I'm insulted. I'm not kind of full of myself. I'm completely full of myself. Why wouldn't I be? Why would I choose not to love myself? That is an incredibly destructive thing to do. Think about it. It's humorous, but I want you to think about it. Not loving yourself is an incredibly destructive thing to do. It is self-destruction. Why? Think about this: what love is in your life. You are love. So think about the things you love in your life. You love your kids? You love your kids, right? What happens when you love your kid? You want to make sure that your kids are well-fed, well-dressed, that they're educated, that they have a good environment conducive to their growth. These are the things you do for your kids when you love them. What about when you love your car? What about when you love your car? What do? You make sure that it's clean, that it's kept well, that the proper fuel is being placed in it, that it's running effectively and efficiently. This is how you treat things you love. You love your pets. My office is located right across from a pet grooming place. And I watch people, all kinds of people who just love their pets. And they carry them and they dress them and they take such good care of them because they love them. Think of the things you do for the things you love. That's powerful. Now think about the things you don't do for the things you don't love. How are children who aren't loved treated? How is the car that you don't love treated? You don't care. You don't care whether it's clean or not. You don't care the fuel. You don't care what it's doing. What about the fence in your yard that you don't love anymore? You don't care if it's painted, if it doesn't look good, if it's fallen apart. What happens when people don't care? They neglect things. It is a destructive attitude to have towards something. That's the truth of love and non-love. So then how could we not think about how important it is to love ourselves? Because if you love yourself, you make sure that you're fed and you're nourished and that you put the right fuel in you and that you're running effective and efficiently. When you love yourself, you take care of yourself like you would your children, like you would your pets, like you would the car you love. Whatever it is that you love, you would take care of yourself the same way. But because we are taught not to love ourselves, that we are taught to find reason to not love ourselves, we are taught to be unhappy with ourselves, we treat ourselves like that fence, like the car we don't care about. We treat ourselves in a destructive manner. Now you don't care what you eat. You don't care if you're falling apart. You don't care. And there the struggle begins to find somebody who does. Ooh, are we going to be real today? Are we going to be real today? And then you wonder why your relationships are dysfunctional. You're trying to find somebody who does when you don't. I'm telling you, if you can't love yourself, if you don't love yourself, then you do not understand love. Love is forgiving. Love is accepting. Love is moving on. Love is embracing. Love is all-encompassing. That's what love is. And if you're not doing that for yourself, you cannot do that with anyone else. And the struggle will always be there, no matter how many books you buy, no matter how many relationship theories you listen to. If the love isn't understood and emanating from within, it cannot be anywhere else. You will keep looking for it and not finding it. You will find traces of it, but you'll find most likely an unhealthy love, a utilitarian love, a selfish love, a fearful love. You won't find the full love because full love comes from within and radiates outward. It does not come from outward to feed you inward. It doesn't work that way. We are taught from a young age, almost designed to not love ourselves. But think about the things that we do, the way that we neglect things we don't love. That is a terrible, incredibly self-destructive way to live. How would your life be different if you felt it okay to love yourself? If you stopped looking for it on the outside and started letting it radiate and emanate from the inside, how would your life be different? If you understood love so well that you couldn't help but let it begin with you, how would your life be different? How would your life be different? I'd tell you how it would be different. Your relationships would be different. a relationship from when you get somebody who's healthy, who loves themselves in a healthy way, and you connect them to somewhere else. You're in a love of respect, of celebration, a love of gratitude. Instead of a love of ownership and entitlement, you're in a love of respect and gratitude. You wouldn't be looking for someone else to care about you more than you care about yourself. You would finally recognize that you set the bar for yourself. You set the bar how everyone's going to treat you. Don't you know that yet? How old are you? 20, 30, 40, 50, 60? Haven't you realized yet that you set the bar for how others treat you? And if you're setting the bar low, which if you don't love yourself, you're setting the bar low, then you cannot be mystified when others treat you in that manner. You are treating yourself in that manner. Think about it. Think about what we do unconsciously. Think about what we do subconsciously. You walk into somebody's house. You walk into a building. You walk into a restaurant, whatever it is, and it is spotless. You pay extra mind to be spotless. If you walk into somebody's house and it looks pristine, you want to make sure that maybe you kick off your shoes at the door and walk around in socks, and maybe you want to make sure that everything is tidy and that you clean up after yourself, and you want to make sure of all these things because it becomes a subconscious place that you recognize, I just walked into something pristine. I walked into something somebody cares about. I need to pay attention to care about it too. What happens when you walk into a place that's a complete pigsty? That's just nasty. Do you subconsciously think, oh, I better take really good care of whether I'm keeping my shoes on or not? I don't want to drop a crumb. Do you think of that? Of course not. Because the place, they have set the standard of how they would be treated. And this happens on a subconscious level and comes out to the conscious level. Why do you think it would be different? All that example I just gave made sense to every single one of you. Why would you think it would be different in relationships, in personal relationships? If you walk by and you are, it's clear that you love yourself enough to keep a pristine sense of love for yourself, then the people will subconsciously know they need to be at that level too. And if they can't, they weed themselves out. But if you're not loving yourself and you're not worried about what you're feeding yourself and how you're talking to yourself and the words you use to describe yourself, if you're not paying attention and you are an emotional pigsty, then you've also set the standard, and you cannot be mystified why people treat you accordingly. You set the standard for yourself. What standard could you possibly set for yourself if you don't love yourself? If you don't forgive yourself, how could you possibly expect others to do so? If you don't accept yourself, how could you possibly expect others to do so? It can't. It cannot. There's balance in your mind. There's balance in your love. There's balance in this universe. There's balance. I was speaking to someone earlier today, and we're talking about the balance of religion, spirituality, and science. And of course, they were heavily, heavily into biblical teachings. And we were talking about certain biblical teachings, and it occurred to me this balance that I just told you about, that you're setting the standard. You find this all over biblical teachings, including the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, as they taught us in the Catholic religion. We're in this Our Father. They talk about forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Many of you, whether religious or not, may be familiar with this passage. And I pointed out how this has always been, because the ancients who wrote this, they didn't have commas or semicolons. They didn't have those kind of breaks in sentences. So they were just tremendous run-on sentences. And how this was always misinterpreted as forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us was misinterpreted as forgive us our trespasses, basically, forgive us our trespasses, period, and we will forgive those who trespass against us, period. But that's not how this was actually laid out. The way it's actually laid it out, it says forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those, meaning forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those, in other words, in the same balance that we forgive those. Forgive us our trespasses at the same balance that we forgive others. This is a statement of love, and this is a statement of balance to the same degree. Forgive us our trespasses to the same degree that we forgive those. In other words, if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. If we forgive a little, we'll be forgiven a little. It's in that sense, in that balance. And you find this structure often in ancient, not only biblical, but ancient writings. It's all over the Bible, but it's also all over the Upanishads. It's all over the Kabbalah. It's in the Zohar. You'll find this steady in the five books of Moses. You'll find this kind of language, and you'll find it today in a secular language, talking about if you don't plant seeds for specific flowers, then stop waiting for those flowers to bloom. You can't possibly enjoy the bloom of a flower that you have not planted the seed. And that's what we do in relationships. And that's what most of these feedbacks that I get are talking about. You're waiting for your husband to treat you properly. You're waiting for your wife to respect you properly. You're waiting for these things to happen. But you're waiting for these flowers to bloom, and you haven't planted these seeds. How could your husband possibly respect you and treat you right? This isn't even a conscious decision. How could you possibly expect him to treat you right and respect you if you're not treating yourself right and respecting yourself? Let's be real. Let's have the real conversation. In the metaphor, how could you expect him to walk in the house and take off his shoes if the house of your mind is a mess? The people I was telling you earlier, the people who keep their house a mess, they don't inspire you to take off their shoes, to take off your shoes when you walk in their home. But someone who keeps their home pristine, without even saying it, just seeing and feeling the second you walk into that house, you are inspired to take off your shoes. Throw that into your relationship. Treat yourself so lovingly. Speak nice to yourself. Forgive yourself. Respect yourself. Stop talking nasty about yourself to yourself. Treat yourself nicely. Accept yourself. Love yourself. And you will create a psychological and spiritual cleanliness that anyone that comes around you will be inspired to take off their spiritual shoes and treat you accordingly. Same happens with the men who write into me. You set the bar for yourself. You set that bar for how people are going to treat you. You set the bar for your relationship. Let's talk about relationships when we get back. I want you to think about what I just said. Think about how we're taught from a marketing standpoint not to love ourselves. Look at every commercial you'll see on TV today. Every commercial you see on TV today is going to tell you in some way or another how you're not good enough. How could you possibly learn to love yourself if you're constantly being told you're not? How could you possibly know this? How could you possibly know to do this? Let's talk about that when we get back. Think of the things. Think of how your life would be different. Think of how it would be different if you loved yourself. Think about how you treat the things, the people and the things in your life that you love. Think about how you treat the people and the things in your life that you don't love. And then think about how great it would be if you could be in that love category. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about relationships when we get back. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the truth and being free. I'm your host, Steve Maribel. We're going to take a quick break. While we're on break, check out our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. You can check out stevemaraboli.com and thebettertoday.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You're listening to Empowered Living. We'll be right back. Your beauty, just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success, is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true, the scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
Made a wrong turn once or twice. Dug my way out, blood and fire. Bad decisions, that's alright. Welcome to my silly life. Mistreated, misplaced.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the truth and being free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Check us out, stevemaraboli.com, empoweredlivingradio.com. You check out on our Facebook. We're on Twitter. Keep pretty active on Twitter. We're on YouTube. Where else? We're on Pinterest, on Tumblr. We're all over the place, getting our stuff out there. The goal of A Better Today is to make sure the arms of empowerment can reach out and touch everyone 100% free. So check it out. We've got over 1,000 hours of radio. We've got picture quotes. We have videos. We have radio shows on YouTube, and we go out of our way to make sure that this information is available to you and that you can keep your checkbook at home and just think about your life. Think about the truth of it and think about the changes that you can make in your mind and then in your actions. And fight, learn to fight this spiritual war that has been taking place really since I think that we can really just see. I mean, there's been a spiritual war as far back in history as I can look. There's been a war for understanding who we are, what we are, our purpose, and blah blah blah. And it's always this. You have the mainstream view, which is trying to keep you diluted for control reasons. And then another aspect of it is trying to keep you diluted for marketing reasons. So they try and keep you, not too happy with yourself or not too inspired by yourself so that you keep looking somewhere else. And on the counter of that, there's been people who have been trying to tell you, hey, you are good enough. You are amazing. And I feel honored to be on that journey, trying to let people know that you are enough. But at the same time that we have this battle where we don't really understand everything about us. And who knows if we ever will. But we do have access to information now that can free us from the imprisonment of our thoughts. And that's, I think that's a huge thing. And this idea of loving yourself is one of them. Get it out of your head that it's a bad thing to love yourself. Get it out of your head that you can't, that loving yourself is in some way arrogant. You know what's arrogant? Arrogance is arrogant. That's what's arrogant. Loving yourself is not arrogant. Arrogance is arrogant. You can love yourself without being arrogant. You can be proud of where you've come from, what you've been through, and the fact that you're a badass survivor. You can be proud of that. Don't you dare rob yourself of that feeling of accepting yourself, knowing that you're not too short, you're not too tall, you're not too thick, you're not too thin. You're perfectly imperfect. And instead, treat yourself like you love yourself. Instead of treating yourself like you don't love yourself, like you need to look everywhere else and love someone else with the fervor that you should be loving yourself with. Every now and then I have stalkers. Every now and then I have little stalkers that I keep pretty open about my life and about who I am, what I do, where I'm going to be, blah, blah, blah. And every now and then I get some stalkers. And I just want to tell them sometimes, if you were to, and it varies, you have stalkers that are in some ways, they build an attachment to you that I couldn't possibly feel, because while you may be listening to me 3 days a week for 5 years or 6 years or 2 years, however long you've been listening, I haven't been listening to you. You've been listening to me. So you're in a relationship with me, but I'm not necessarily in one with you because I don't know you. So most people understand that dynamic. Some people don't. Some people, and it's a trigger in their mind that they don't understand that dynamic. And I just want to tell them, if you were to put this fraction of energy, this fraction of energy that you're throwing towards me, if you were to just put it in yourself, you would radiate a power. You're trying to connect with me for a power in your life. If you were to give yourself the fraction of the power that you're shooting towards me, you would change your life and empower yourself beyond measure. And the same is true for anyone listening who is seeking love from somewhere outside of them. Somewhere outside of them. And all the feedback I'm getting back, and I want my husband to respect me, and I want my wife to respect me, all of this goes away when you start respecting yourself, when you start loving yourself. You know, I have totally different views on relationships. I believe in being honest. I believe in these things, and this could be crippling to relationships, but not crippling to good relationships. It's crippling to bad relationships. People say that all the time. You know, honesty is horrible for relationships. Yeah, it's horrible for bad ones. It's amazing for good ones. We are just so used to diluting. We're so used to bending the truth. We're so used to shading the truth. And we're so used to not accepting each other. Because we haven't accepted ourselves. I have met some incredible people, that you may not agree with how they are, but you don't try and change them. You don't want to change them. And the second you do try and change them, we know how that feels. That is a never-ending cycle of frustration, hurt, pain, and letdowns. Because you're trying to control something you don't control. My whole life changed the day that I realized I love myself enough. I love myself enough to not try and change you. I love myself enough to accept you for how you are and accept the fact that maybe you're just not a fit for me. But you're amazing. Just not for me. How liberating that is. How liberating it is to live that way. How liberating it is to maintain relationship. You can maintain a relationship with somebody that way. You can maintain a friendship, a loving, friendly relationship with somebody because you avoid the drama. You avoid the drama associated with statements that come from a lack of love. And this is the problems that you're having. You think the problem is that your husband doesn't respect you, and you think that's where his anger and frustration is coming from? So buy all the books and go to all the coaching meetings and go to all the church events, the marriage events, and go, and has that changed anything? No. The reason it only changes it for a week or two or a month, and then it goes right back to where it was. The reason is it isn't because he doesn't want to respect you or accept you. It's because he has never learned to respect or accept himself. He cannot possibly do something for you that he has never done for himself. And the same goes with the men who will complain about their women and how they can't do this and is unhappy about this and that doesn't ever seem to be satisfied about this and is never happy about. That doesn't come from you. It's coming out on you. It's coming out on you or anyone else they're talking to. But that comes from a place that they have not learned to accept and be happy with and complete and content with themselves. They cannot possibly give to you or share with you something they have never done for themselves. This is what I'm telling you. You come from a place of love for yourself. If you accept yourself, here comes that does away with all the bullshit first dates. All the bullshit first dates, all the bullshit. I was just reading an article about how online dating doesn't really work. Shocker. You think people lie when they meet you in person. You don't think they're going to lie when they meet you online? Of course it's not going to work. It's not that online dating doesn't work. It's not that blind dates don't work. It's not that any of that doesn't work. It's not that relationships don't work. It's that inauthenticity doesn't work. It's that lying doesn't work. It's that expecting love to come out of a place that lacks love does not work. You are expecting to see flowers bloom from seeds that you did not sow. It does not work that way. That's why we have 1,000 relationship books and relationship shows and all of these things. It's because we're trying to understand something in a complex manner that is actually pretty simple to understand. It's not easy to do, but it's simple to understand. You're expecting to experience something that you haven't given yourself. How do you expect somebody else who also hasn't given it to themselves, how do you expect them to be able to give it to you? Your love of a lifetime is you. You're trying to make your relationship work by forgiving whatever they did wrong. Don't worry about forgiving what they did wrong. Take a second and forgive what you feel you've done wrong. Take a second to look how you don't love yourself, where in your life you don't love yourself. You've heard me ask before, do you love yourself enough to be what you love yourself enough to want? This is where this show gets uncomfortable. You know, this is a dangerous show to listen to. This is a dangerous show to listen to because you can't unhear what I'm telling you, and it makes all kinds of sense, and you know it. This is where it gets dangerous. Let me ask you another question. I've told you about the observer gauge. If you couldn't just spew your BS from your mouth, and people were just watching you, you could only speak through the language of action. Would somebody looking at you today, somebody watching you today, at the end of the day, after the end of a full day of watching you, if you were to ask them, does this person love themselves? What would their answer be? After they watch you eat food that you know is unhealthy for you. After they watch you throw away time, minutes, and hours and not move towards any goal or dream you've ever had. After they've watched you argue from a place of fear and insecurity, instead of responding and speaking through a place of love and acceptance, after they watch you do all of this without all the bullshit you tell them, but just your actions, would they come to the conclusion that you love yourself? If the answer is no, take note and make the adjustments. Take note and make the adjustments. How dare you drive yourself crazy all these years expecting someone to love you in a way that you don't love yourself? How dare you not love yourself? You don't have to be arrogant. Remember that arrogance is different than this. This is accepting who you are, accepting who you're not, celebrating the accomplishments, learning from the failures, accepting your mistakes as something that's just you or something that you want to pay attention to and shape your way out, lead your way out of. But if somebody were to spend a day watching you and not come to the conclusion that you love yourself, that is a self-destructive truth that most of our population shares, which is why most of our population is either looking for ways to anesthetize their pain through some sort of medical drugs or books or churches or whatever it is. That's why the majority of the society does this. Is because you have been convinced not to love yourself and you're acting accordingly. So now you became that fence in the yard that you don't love so much. Now you became that pet that you don't love so much. You became the car that you don't love so much. You became the toy that you don't love so much. Whatever it is, you know how we treat things or disregard things that we don't love so much. That is the truth of our humanity. Please, please don't break out your spiritual things. We are all love, and I love all things the same. Save that for a different show. It's the truth of our humanity that we take good care of the things we love and we neglect the things we don't love. That is the truth of our humanity. Recognize that, and then recognize if you're in the category of things we're not loving so much, because recognize that you're neglecting yourself. And it's easy to see. You could talk your way out of it, but if someone's looking at you, it's easy to see. If you've been dreaming a dream for years and you're nowhere closer to it, it's because you don't love yourself enough. If you've been dreaming a healthier life for years and you're nowhere closer to it, it's because you don't love yourself enough. You can say all you want, well, Steve, I don't have time, or I don't have the money. You can make all the excuses you want. That's fine. You and I both know it's bullshit, and it comes from a source that you don't love yourself enough to be what you love yourself enough to want, and you need to step it up and recognize that the greatest relationship in your life, the greatest one you will ever have, the only one you will ever have from the moment you are born to the moment you die, the only one you will ever have and the most important one has always been and will always be the one you have with yourself. And if you don't have a great relationship with yourself, then just accept the fact that your relationship with everyone else is also going to be crappy. If the relationship you have with yourself is negligent and unloving, your relationship with anyone else cannot be anything but that. You might find somebody who will tend to you greater than you tend to yourself, but they'll get tired of that. They'll get tired of that, and then you're going to go buy a Mars and Venus book. And say, that's why. That's why. You'll never look at yourself and say, well, I'm setting the standard for myself, and the standard I'm setting is pretty crappy, and that's why that's what I'm getting. I'm acting childish and dramatic, and I'm wondering why I'm not catching the good fish out there. I spiritually keep a messy home, and I'm wondering why nobody wants to take off their shoes when they come in. Wake up. And I don't mean the wake up in a, oh, awaken to the, I don't mean that. I mean wake your ass up and recognize that you are the point of origin. Whatever the hell you want, you're the point of origin. You want a better relationship? It starts with you. Create a better relationship with yourself. And you will attract people who will want to take off their spiritual shoes and will raise to your level. And the people who cannot and will not raise to your level won't. And you'll know that that's what it is. But stop pointing the finger everywhere else and expecting someone else to deliver something to you that you have yet to deliver to yourself. Remember, if you can't love yourself, if you don't love yourself, then you don't understand love. Love is in the forgiveness of yourself. Love is in the acceptance of yourself. Love is in the peace with yourself. Love is in the conversation with yourself. If you speak to yourself nicely, you're going to speak to others nicely. If you find solace within yourself, you're going to find solace with others. If you can accept yourself, you're going to accept others. But if you don't, then you go with a vengeance, trying to change everybody and everything around you, trying to manipulate and control them to behave your way, because in a way you haven't learned to accept yourself, so you can't possibly accept them. What do you think it's a? And this is a human thing, folks. Why do you think that? Do you think it's always, oh, it's always so neat that, you know, the congressman gets caught trying to have homosexual sex in an airport, and it happens to be the congressman who's like the head of the anti-gay committee, or a person is charged with being a pedophile, and it just so happens to be the person in charge of the anti-pedophile committee. Don't you realize that's not a, wow, isn't that a coincidence? Don't you realize that that's a mental thing? That is a person who, at a young age or an older age, who knows, at some point they realized that they were gay and they hated it about themselves. So they went hell-bent, trying to change that in everyone else. That's what that is. So now the same is true. The same thought process is true. When you're trying to demand respect from other people and trying to make sure that they behave in a way that is consistent with loving you, when meanwhile you haven't done that for yourself. You're the point of origin for everything in your life. Life is your agreement with reality. That's what life is. Your love of a lifetime is you. You want respect. It has to start with you. I'm not even saying this as a poetry, touchy-feely thing. I'm telling you the truth. If you want respect, it has to start with you. Respect yourself, and others will have no choice. They'll be inspired to respect you, and if they don't, you'll feel so turned off by them that it won't even be drama in your life. It'll just be logical. It'll be logical. It would just be logical. I've told you guys before, there are people that I cut out of my life, and they're not bad people. They're just not good for my life. I don't talk to them or hang out with them for the same reason I don't smoke cigarettes. It's bad for me. I'm not angry at them. I'm not upset. I accept them. I think that they'd be great to hang out with someone else, just not me. Remember this today and tomorrow and the day after. Remember this. If somebody were to watch you the whole day, would at the end of the day, would they think that you love yourself? If the answer is no, then you're doing a tremendous disservice to yourself. If you don't love yourself, that is a self-destructive way of thinking. Unfortunately, it's the way of thinking most people have, which is why the marketing industry for this is huge, which is why the antidepressant drugs and the self-help books and all these new fads and cults and religions and churches and all these things that are popping up, all of these things are designed to help you cope with the fact that you don't love yourself. Think about it. That's what they're there for. It's a multi-billion or trillion-dollar industry. You not loving yourself. How would your life be different if you accepted, respected, and loved yourself? If you recognized you're good enough, that we all make mistakes, but we are not our mistakes. We are perfectly imperfect. You would enter into a lifetime love with yourself. And when you're emanating from the place from within, you're no longer seeking the love and validation on the outside. And any relationship you enter where two people love themselves, that's where the magic is. That's where the poetry of our humanity is. That's where you find all the beautiful playwrights and poets and artists. They've been trying to describe how amazing it is for years, and although they've done a fantastic job, they haven't even touched how spectacular it could be. Show them. Teach us all. You are your love of a lifetime. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. Check out empoweredlivingradio.com, stevemaraboli.com. Check us out on Facebook, on Twitter. You're Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.